That was the song that we were singing the night that I bowed my knee and trusted Jesus as my Savior. How many of you bowed your knee with that song being sung? I know years ago, the Billy Graham Crusades, that's the only invitational song they sang, and no doubt there's hundreds and thousands of people that have bowed their knees to that great hymn, "Just As I Am." I'm thankful for it, aren't you? Amen. Let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Mark this morning, Mark chapter number 5. Now, the Bible tells us that as preachers, we are to be instant in season and out of season. And that just means that we're supposed to always be ready. Been a number of times that I've gone to particular meetings here and there and been called on kind of as a surprise, but always ready to preach God's Word whenever and wherever the opportunity may arise. That's one of the things we have to be ready for. But anyway, this morning I was, several things transpired in my short drive over here this morning to the church. First of all, I got to thinking about, you know, next Sunday is the fifth Sunday of the month. And we haven't done this. I'm going to spring this on everybody, Brother Sean and Kristen and all of you here, but next Sunday is the fifth Sunday of the month. I want you to try to be here on Sunday morning, of course, but I want you to try to be here on Sunday night as well. We're going to do something a little bit different. Hadn't done in a while, but we're going to have a singing on Sunday night. Surprise, Brother Sean, Miss Kristen, for that. I know that means work for them, but I can do that because I'm the preacher. And because I'm her daddy. Oh, man. But anyway, I want everybody that can sing to come with a song ready to sing. If you can play an instrument, I want you to come and ready to play that instrument. If you want to sing with it, that's okay too. But I want us to have a good old time of singing and praising the Lord. Amen? Amen. It's called, we won't call it the Gaithers Homecoming. We'll just call it the Lighthouse Homecoming. But I want you to sing. And I mean this. Miss Brenda, Brother Herman, I want to pull that guitar out of the archives and that violin out of the archives. And I want to hear it. I hadn't heard that in a while. Brother Michael, I hadn't heard that harmonica or that trumpet in a long time too. I sure would like to hear that next Sunday night if you can do it. If you can play the piano, if you can play an instrument, if you can sing, if you can't sing, if you can hum, and you want to make a joyful noise to the Lord, but that's what I want to do next Sunday night. And we'll just call it the old Lighthouse Baptist Homecoming. Amen? Just like a Gaithers Homecoming. And we'll sing and enjoy our time together next Sunday night, fifth Sunday, and we'll do that. Well, that was the first thing that God laid on my heart. The second thing was a different message. I had been working on my message all week long and that God had laid on my heart to preach. And while I was over here, the Lord, on my travels over here, the Lord put a passage of Scripture and a thought in my mind, and I thought, well, this is it. I've got to go with it. So I had about 15, 20 minutes to jot down a few notes, and so I'm going to go with it today on what God's given me. And I hope that it helps every one of you. Amen? Mark chapter number 5. We read a tremendous story here. We'll begin reading in verse number 21. Stand with me as we honor the reading of God's Word, if you're able to. If you're unable to stand, that's perfectly understandable. Verse 21 of Mark chapter 5 says, "And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet, and besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him, and thronged him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing better but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked around about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you, Lord, for this great lesson here that we have, Lord, in this woman with the issue of blood. I pray today that, Lord, you would speak through me the words that we need today that would help and encourage us all. Pray now your blessing as we commit these things to you. May it minister to us all, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Today's message, as I just said, is a message of hope, encouragement, and a message of instruction. What you do with it is strictly up to you, though. What you do with what is presented this morning is strictly up to you. We'll all be faced with a challenge. We'll all be faced with a choice in what we will do from this message this morning. And this great passage of Scripture and the lesson that we can learn from the woman with the issue of blood, there are three wonderful truths that we can glean knowledge from and we can glean instruction from. The first one we see is her condition. Her condition. We could describe her condition as we find here in verse 25 and 26. The Bible said, in a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years. It's saying there was a lot of things as I was reading through a commentary briefly this morning. One commentary said that this particular woman, the issue of blood that she had, would no doubt separate her from society. In other words, she was an outcast. She was an outcast in society, much like those who were plagued with leprosy. They were not allowed within close contact with anyone else. But here she had heard the news and the words of the healing power of the Lord Jesus Christ. We could describe her as sick, as hopeless, helpless, and penniless. Another writer described her this way, bleeding, broken, and bankrupt. But no doubt, as we see her condition, she could be described this way, desperate, destitute, and in despair. I think about so many in the world today that are just like this woman. We've got a world of people out there, though they may not have an issue of blood or a particular type of sickness like this woman had, but we've got a lot of people in this world today who are sin sick. That could be described this very way, that spiritually speaking, they're bleeding, they're broken, and they're bankrupt. Or that the fact that they're desperate and destitute and in great despair. I look out there today, and as Jesus saw the multitude, the Bible said he was moved with compassion. Because as he saw the multitude, they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. I look out today and I see the same crowd out there, the crowd that Brother Ron spoke of in Sunday school this morning. That crowd who is perverted in their minds and literally who I think at times maybe that God has turned them over already to a reprobate mind. But yet we don't know that. Only God knows that. And as long as there's breath, there's hope in the life of many people. But we see her condition. The second thing is we see her cure. In verse 28, the Bible says, "For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole." There we see a great lesson in faith. Great lesson in faith. The Bible said, "For by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." But we see this woman who had enough faith that she said, "If I can only get close enough to Jesus that I can touch his clothes, I'll be made whole. I will be healed of this." And that's exactly what she did. And she was made whole. So we see her condition, her cure. In verse 33, we see her confession. Notice in verse 33, "But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth." I'm going to tell you today, what I thought about that particular verse right there was the fact that she could not lie to Jesus. Man, that's a good indication of salvation and spiritual transformation. Amen? Wonderful lesson there that we see there in this woman, that God had changed her life. He had changed her physically and he had changed her spiritually inside out. Because she confessed unto Jesus all of the truth. This morning, as we think about this woman with the issue of blood, I want us to think in particular about this particular thought. When all else fails. You ever been there before? Notice there in verse number 26, once again, "And had suffered many things of many physicians, and spent all that she had, and was what? And was nothing better, but rather grew worse." She had tried everything. Maybe you're here today and you've tried everything. Maybe today you're here and you're looking for happiness. You're looking for contentment. You're looking for security. Or whatever else it may be that you're looking for today. And you've tried everything. Everything imaginable. When all else fails. How many times have we heard that expression before? When all else fails. When all else fails, what is the rest of it? How many of you have ever been putting a piece of furniture together? Or like I was, I remember a lot of Christmases working the way I did back years ago. I might wind up and have to work all night and get back home just in time to put the toys together on Christmas morning before the children woke up. And on a number of occasions, I always wound up with a bunch of extra parts. That ever happened to anybody else? And so what they tell you, when all else fails, do what? Read the instructions. Here's a woman that had tried everything and it failed. There were several thoughts that came to mind when I thought about this. Reading the instructions, no doubt, is a good place to start. These were just a few thoughts that God gave me this morning on the thought of when all else fails. When all else fails, one of the things that we desperately need to do is go to the Bible. That's a place you're going to find answers, folks, right here in God's Word. So often we go to the world, we go to the philosophers of this world, we go to the psychiatrist and psychologist and all the other brain people out there looking for answers for the problems that we have in this world. I'm telling you this morning, when all else fails, go to the Bible. Go to the book of books. Here is where you'll find the answers for life. Here's where you'll find the answers that'll help you to walk the path that God wants for your life. When all else fails, get in church. That's another great truth, I believe. There are a lot of people today that, you know, they'll sit there and they'll tell you about all their problems. You ever ask somebody how they were doing, and somebody say, well, how long do you have? You know what that means, don't you? That means that they got a lot of problems. They got a lot of problems. Or in other words, they got a lot of complaints. They wanna spend some time complaining a little bit about things that are going on. But I'm going to tell you, a good place to find those answers is to get in church. To get in church. I've said this many times before that church is not, you won't find all the answers to life in church alone. But I'm going to tell you, it is a good place to start when all else fails, is to get in the house of God. You remember the psalmist says, and he talks about all the things that was going on, and he said, then I went unto the sanctuary. In other words, there in about, I think it's Psalm 73 or 77 it may be, but he said, when I went into the sanctuary, then I understood. Then I understood. Folks, I'm going to tell you, getting in church is a right thing to do when all else fails. Get in church and stay in church. That's why the Bible says, as we quote so often, that we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but we are to exhort one another. That's encourage one another. Church is where you'll find encouragement, where you'll find that pat on the back, where you'll find that admonishment, that's mild rebuke. You're going to find that in church. You're going to find people that love you, that care about you, and want God's best for you in the house of God. That's a good place to go when all else fails. Seeking the face of God through prayer is another right thing to do when all else fails. Listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit of God, that still small voice, that inner voice within us that God indwells in us when we get saved. Listen to that voice. Some people say, well, preacher, you know, listen to your heart. We ought to listen to our heart. No, don't listen to your heart. Don't listen to your mind. Don't listen to the world. Don't listen to everybody else. But do listen to the voice of God. The working of the Holy Spirit. Bible said that it's the work of the Holy Spirit that guides us into all truth. It's the Holy Spirit of God that convicts of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. It's the Holy Spirit that works in our life, that comforts us in those difficult times. So listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Another thing that we should do when all else fails is to just wait on God. Wait on God. Be still and know that I am God. You remember when Moses and the Israelites in the book of Exodus chapter number 12, when they had come out of Egypt, they got to the Red Sea. There was nowhere else to turn. They came to the end of the road. And what happened? They began to do as so many people do. All had seemed to have failed. Their deliverance had seemed unto them to have failed. Here they are facing a challenge in life, as all of us do. They had come to the end of the road and they start to murmur and complain against God and against Moses. Would be, they said, that we had died at the hands of the Egyptians rather than to die this way. And what did Moses tell them? Moses said, stand still. You know what that means? That means to wait. Moses said, stand still. Why do you think the Bible says be careful for nothing? That simply means to don't worry, don't fret about it. Don't come unglued about it. How many of you ever come unglued? I've been there. Who do you think I'm preaching to today? Undoubtedly, I'm preaching to myself because God preached this message to me this morning on the way over here to church. But Moses said, stand still and do what? See the salvation of the Lord. When all else fails, just wait on God. Don't get ahead of Him. So often we like to get ahead of God and we like to do... How many of you remember the old fellow named Elvis Presley? He used to sing a song about doing it his way. You know, that's our problem. Or that's one of our many problems. Is that we are guilty of doing everything our way. God says, wait and do it my way. What does the Bible say about God's way? As for His way, it's what? There we go. It's perfect. You'll never go wrong by waiting on God and doing it His way. But we get ahead of God. We get ahead of God and we say, God, we'll help you out. Look what happened to Abraham. Did not he and Sarah get ahead of God? They didn't wait. They got ahead of God and look what it cost them. Look what it cost them. In fact, we're still suffering the effects of it today in our day and time, in our society, because of the choices they made to get ahead of God. Wait on God. Isaiah 40, verse 31, they that wait upon the Lord shall do what? Shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. What else can we do when all else fails? We need to seek counsel of spiritual people. Bible said there's safety in a multitude of counselors. But it's got to be the right counselor. I'm going to tell you, you'll find help and encouragement and strength and direction. You go to your pastor. That's what I'm here for. Sometimes you may not want to hear what I've got to say. Why? Because I'm going to give you biblical instruction. I'm going to tell you what God says. I'm not going to give you my opinion. I'm not going to give you what I think. I'm going to give you what God says. Thus saith the Word of God. And then, of course, when all else fails, you'll never do wrong by praising the Lord. Just praise God. Praise Jesus. Praise the Lord. Count your many blessings. Name them one by one. And it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Those are all good remedies. But do you know what the best remedy of them all is? It's the remedy that this woman did. Was she made her way to Jesus. She made her way to Jesus. When all else fails, my advice is this. Come to Jesus. Isn't that good? I like it. You may not, but I do. Because that's what this woman. Let me say this morning, when you're lost and on your way to hell, you need to come to Jesus. There are a lot of people going everywhere else. But I'm saying this morning that if you do not know Christ as your personal Savior, you've never been saved, never been washed in the wonderful blood of the Lamb, you're on your way to hell. You may not know it yet. You may be lost and undone and haven't realized. But I'm thankful today God allows U-turns. That's what's called repentance. And repentance is a part of God's great plan of salvation. That's where we change direction from one direction to the other direction. That's why when we have a change of mind about sin and the direction that we're going, and we make a 180-degree turn and turn back to God. That's repentance. When you're lost and on your way to hell, come to Jesus. Let me say this morning that when you find yourself at the end of the road and nowhere else to go, come to Jesus. When you are physically sick and not getting any better, you may have gotten the awful news that you have an incurable disease or an incurable sickness. Do you realize that there's no sickness out there that is completely incurable? Why? Because if you come to Jesus, Jesus is our cure. There's no sickness, there's no disease, there's no tragedy that God cannot make it better by coming to Jesus. This may be for you here today. This may be here for somebody that is watching. But I say this morning that when your marriage is failing and you've tried everything to salvage that marriage, but nothing has helped, it's time to come to Jesus. It's time to come to the Lord, just like this woman who was physically sick with this terrible infirmity that she had had and had endured for 12 long years. But she found her way to Jesus. This right here may be for you, it may be for some, may not be for the others, but listen to this thought. When the children are driving you crazy, you ever been there before, mom and dad? When the children are driving you crazy and you can't seem to find any relief. Mom and dad, have you ever thought about, man, I'd just like to run and hide. I'd like to go on a permanent vacation by myself with nobody else. That's time to get with Jesus, folks. That's time to come to the Lord and come to Jesus when it's like that. Jesus is the answer to all of our needs and all of our problems. When you're grieving over the death of a loved one, and we've got a lot of that. I think today, and I've told Donna, I said, I don't want to live without you. But you know, I've seen spouses live without the spouse when someone dies. I've seen parents lose children and them overcome it and deal with it. It's difficult. Those that have lost a spouse, a husband or a wife, or those that have lost a child, you know how difficult it is. I haven't experienced any of those things as of yet. But I'm going to tell you, the one that can get you through it is Jesus. That's why we need to come to Him, just like this woman. Let me say, when your job or work, this may be for some here, when your job or your work is overwhelming you and you find no success or no joy in it, that's time to come to Jesus. You find yourself miserable in what you're doing. I've told many of people over the years, life is too short to be miserable in what you do. You don't have to be miserable. You can overcome that misery. You can find joy and you can find happiness and you can find strength and you can find encouragement if you will just come to Jesus in anything. We have to remind ourselves that what we do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. Though we may have an employer that employs us, that signs our checks, but we've got to remember who is our boss. Our boss is who? Jesus. Amen. Let me say, when you're sick and tired of the way that the world is headed, Brother Ron talked about that in Sunday school. He was talking about things that were going on in the world today and how frustrated and how mad it made him. Folks, that's righteous indignation. There ain't nothing wrong with being that kind of mad. Amen? That's kind of the way Jesus was. Righteous indignation. You remember when he went into the temple and he found the money changers there. What did he do? The Bible said he was angry and he went and turned over the tables. Things that are going on in the world today ought to upset us, ought to make us mad with righteous indignation. But when we find ourselves like that, when we find ourselves sick of society and sick of this world and everything that we see going on out there, it's time that we turn to Jesus and look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. When you need some spiritual, emotional, and mental encouragement, we're living in discouraging times. We're living in difficult days. It is discouraging. There's a little bit of leeway now at the gas pump. Thank God for it. I'll take 5, 10, 15 cents knocked off of it, whatever it is. Thank God for it. I'm not crediting Joe Biden or the Democrats or anybody else. I'm crediting God and I'm thanking God for giving us that leeway. We're living in discouraging times. You remember Joshua after the death of Moses and him facing the great burden of the Israelites and the Jews in that time. God said, be strong and of good courage. Be not dismayed, neither be thou dismayed, for I, the Lord God, am with thee whithersoever thou goest. Folks, when we need some spiritual, emotional, and mental encouragement, it's when we need to come to Jesus. When you find yourself like the woman, helpless, hopeless, penniless, it's time to come to Jesus. You ever been there before? Helpless, hopeless, and penniless? I've been there a few times in my life like that. That's time to come to Jesus. Just like the woman, when you find yourself getting worse than getting better, it's time to come to Jesus. When you need a shoulder to cry on, have you ever been there before? Where you needed somebody, and hey, I've been right there before. I've said many times that when Donna's dad, I lost one of my best friends. He was one of the very few people on this side of eternity outside of God that I could sit down and I could pour my heart out to, and I knew he would give me biblical advice. That was a shoulder to cry on. And I remember telling him one time, said, Brother Rouse, I said, I ain't got a soul I can talk to about these things that are going on and the burdens of my heart. You know what he told me? He said, all you've got is the Lord. And that's all you need. Do you need a shoulder to cry on today? Look at David. David cried on that shoulder a many a night. The Bible said that David poured out his complaint unto the Lord. Have you ever done that? It's when things get so difficult and you need that shoulder to cry on, just turn to Jesus because He's there. So the Bible reminds us, weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. The Lord gives us a hope. Let me say also, when you need an example to follow, and we do. We've got too many bad examples in the world today that people are trying to follow and people are trying to mimic and become like and act like. Sad to say, so many of our young people today, they're engrossed in the things of this world. And folks, I'm telling you, it's happening in church too. It's being allowed to go on right here in the houses of God and in the places of worship. We're inviting paganism and we're inviting heathenism right into our midst, into God's house. It's nothing more than idolatry. We're allowing it to come in. Bible says that we're to meddle not with them that are given to change. In the book of Jeremiah, he said, learn not the way of the heathen. But what are we doing? We're dressing like the heathen. We're talking like the heathen. We're doing everything like the heathen out there. Paul admonished the church on a number of occasions to do not the ways or to follow not in the ways of the Gentiles, which were considered pagans. But we've got an example. We've got a right example. And that example is Jesus. That's why the Apostle Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21, for even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should do what? That we should follow His steps. Let me see, when you need an example to follow, come to Jesus. Have you ever needed a hand to hold? Sometimes the holding of the hand brings so much comfort to our lives. Look what the Bible said that Jesus did to Jairus' daughter. What did He do? He reached down and He took her by the hand. Folks, when you need a hand to hold, it's time to turn to Jesus. When you need light in the darkness, it's time to come to Jesus. When you need mercy, grace, and love. By the way, who's the author of mercy, love, and grace? Jesus is. You remember in John chapter 8, the woman that was taken in the very act of adultery? You remember the Pharisees came. I jotted some notes down. Brother Ron was teaching, and I happened to pass through that, and Lord gave me a thought. I thought about this. I thought about sin, stones, and salvation. The woman was taken in the act of adultery, condemned to die. The law condemned her to death because of her sin. Of course, the Pharisees, what did they want to do? They wanted to stone her. You remember what Jesus said? He that is without a sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And then, of course, what happened? Judgment called, but mercy answered. God saved her. Jesus said, go and sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. She needed mercy, she needed grace, and she needed some love. If you've ever been there, Jesus is the place to go for those things. Let me say, if you're here today, when you need forgiveness for the sins in your life, Jesus is the right place to go. Jesus is the right place to go. If you've got some sin that is overcoming your life that you can't get the victory over, something that is plaguing you that you cannot get away from, it's time to cry out to God for forgiveness. And as He said in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We find here that this woman, it was not an easy task of getting to Jesus. The crowd was pretty great. The crowd was so great, it was kind of like a can of sardines. You ever been there before? Shoulder to shoulder. Standing room only. But you know what? She made her way to get to Jesus. close enough just that she could reach out and touch the hem of his garment. The devil's not going to make it easy to get to Jesus. This world is not going to make it easy to get to Jesus. This flesh is not going to make it easy to get to Jesus. You've got to have a desire, and that's what this woman had. She had a desire to get to Jesus. She knew that Jesus was her only hope. That's why she came to Jesus. Let me say last of all, when you need a real friend, a real friend, a friend that'll never leave you, a friend that'll never forsake you, a friend that you can pour out your heart to. And as the Bible describes, a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Your answer is this: come to Jesus. Just like with a woman with the issue of blood, when all else fails, bleeding, she was broken, and she was bankrupt. She came there penniless, but she left with the Prince of Peace. Isn't that amazing? Penniless, but she got the Prince of Peace when she got Jesus. Jesus said, "My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth give I unto you." He said, "Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." I don't know what the need in your life here this morning is, but I'll tell you the remedy of it. It's Jesus. Jesus. There's no greater name than that of Jesus. In Acts chapter 4, verse 12, the Bible says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved." There's no greater name than the name of Jesus. It's at that name that every knee will bow one day and every tongue will confess that He is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Whatever the need is in your life here today, those that are here, those that are watching, I challenge you this. Why don't you come to Jesus? Why don't you just turn it over to Jesus? In fact, Jesus said in John 11, verse 28 through 30, Jesus said, "Come unto me. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden," Jesus said, "and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Whatever the need is here today, simple, isn't it? Not as simple as you think. This woman had to fight the crowd. She had to fight the devil. She had to fight the world. She had to fight her own flesh to get to Jesus. I hope today that you have come to the place in your life where you are desperate to do whatever it takes to get to the only one that can help you, and that's Jesus. Will you stand with me, heads bowed, eyes closed? The altar's open this morning to those that want to come to Jesus. Those that may not know Christ as their personal Savior, why don't you come today? Why don't you come today and confess your sin? Why not today come and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior this morning? John 1:12 says, "But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name." As the Philippian jailer was talking with Paul and Silas and cried out that great night in the Philippian jail, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And Paul said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." Not only can the Lord Jesus turn it around for you, He can turn it around for your whole family. I don't know what that need is today, but there, you've got needs just like I do. Why don't we just finally realize that Jesus, rather being our last resort, being our first resort? Why not, rather than do it our way, is just turn to Him right off? Save us a lot of trouble, wouldn't it? Save us a lot of pain. Save us a lot of trouble if we'd come to Jesus. Will you come to Him today? Father, bless this invitation in Jesus' name. Amen. What number?